Blog Talk Radio.
The myth. Definition of a band.
Welcome to another episode of Nation Billing. Tonight's episode, The Black Legacy, Getting Out of a Crisis. Business and Jobs, our on featuring Brother Daywood and Mohammed, solar energy consultant and researcher, hosted by Sister Gidget and Brother Vernon. Let's get on with the show, Sister Gidget. How you doing out there?
I'm fine, Brother DJ Black Season. How are you this Sunday afternoon?
I'm doing pretty good, Sister. Doing pretty good, man. Blessed by the grace of Allah.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. And I would like to extend the greetings to our listening audience. Assalamu alaikum. Also to you, Brother DJ Black Caesar, as well as my distinguished panelists, guests, and family. So, assalamu alaikum, family. How are you?
Walaikum salam.
I'm good, sister. Feeling good like a winner should. Thank you for having us on tonight.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And Brother Vernon, of course, I was shocked that you would be available this evening, but and this is really your spot. This is really your show, Romance Without Finance. But since I thought it was going to be me, I retitled it. I hope you don't mind. Brother Vernon will certainly be back with us doing his thing next Sunday. But he's here today, so all praise is due to Allah for that. And we also have Brother Dawood Muhammad, and I would like for Brother Dawood to just introduce yourself, if you would, sir, and tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from.
Yes. First, I'd like to extend the greetings of peace, assalamu alaikum, and I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his true servant and messenger. And that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not only a warner and teacher and guide to the black woman and black man and woman and child in America, but to the entire world. And so, to cover what address what it is that we do, is that basically we have evaluated and researched. And found that there is a hidden but yet apparent problem that is existing within the black community, and it has something to do with energy costs. It has
Dawood, wait a minute. I want you to hold up for a minute. I want you to introduce yourself right now.
Yes.
Just introduce yourself and let us know where you're from.
Yes, I'm Brother Dawood Muhammad. I'm from out of St. Louis, Altoona, St. Louis area. That'll be mosque number 28. We are here in the city of St. Louis.
Okay. And, Brother Dawood, I became aware of who you were and what you do when you called in one evening to Brother Vernon's broadcast on Sunday. And I was just enlightened to hear someone from amongst us to discuss solar energy, because that's not a conversation even in our business community that we hear about every day. And so, Brother Dawood, if you would just hold on just a second. We want to kind of put the subject matter out there and get to the point of this broadcast, if you would. Now, I've been talking to Brother Vernon off and on all week, and I've been talking to other people that I know personally, and just looking at some things, some statistics and some things that's going on in the political arena. We're in an election year. Everything is going crazy. But one thing that has been constant in the black community, and that is the shrinking job market. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan continues to teach us, that we as a people are going to have to do for self. And it appears as though we have waited until the 12th hour to kind of wake up and involve ourselves in creating jobs for ourselves. And it's almost like we had to wait till the open enemy eradicated us out of this job market in order for us to start getting serious about some things that is actually needed in our community and jobs that we can create for ourselves. So here we are. We're looking it in the face now. The unemployment among black people, I don't care what you hear on TV, they say it's 15%, 16% or whatever, but you have to look at the fact that not only are they counting the ones, they're only counting the ones that are in the job market as far as working for someone else. When you look at the black businesses that have closed down because of this economic condition, then you're looking at 37% of the African American population that does not have a documentable source of income, if you know what I mean, read between lines. They don't have an income. That's 37% of the 41 million African Americans, black people, whatever you want to call us, in America. And that does not include our indigenous family. It does not include our Latino, our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters. It does not include Africans that have, you know, came over here and tried to establish a life for themselves. So that number is not even inclusive of our entire black nation. And so we're in a crisis now. So Brother Vernon and I were talking, and we came up with a list of some things that we can start up, you know, easily, not necessarily having thousands and thousands of dollars to start a business, something that you can get together with four or five other people, a group of 10, however you want to do it. Pool your resources if you have to, and let's create some jobs and some businesses for ourselves. And one of the ones that Brother Vernon first mentioned to me, the first thing that came out of his mouth was virtual assistant. So, Brother Vernon, if you would, kind of just give us a little bit of information about why did virtual assistant come to your mind, and kind of, you know, elaborate on what that is?
Yes, ma'am. I definitely, even though that was the first to come to my mind, if you would, Sister Gidget, I would like to ask you if you'd let me start with sales and marketing.
Absolutely.
And I have a specific reason for doing that. One is, sales and marketing, they're two fields that we think about kind of with the back half of our brain. We don't really take a real clear and serious approach to sales and marketing. But any business that you think about, whether you're talking about a product or whether you're talking about a service, the lifeblood of that business venture that you're stepping out on, has got to be sales and marketing. Business in general, in fact, ultimately rest on what are you selling, what are you marketing. If you have a service, okay, if you consult businesses, if you provide daycare, if you, you know, clean carpets, whatever it is that you have to offer, you have to engage in selling and marketing it. And one of the problems is, you know, when we get to discussions and topics like this, oh, what could I do to make some money? You know, we don't necessarily think about how seriously we need to approach the sales process and marketing that business, that service, or that product that we have to offer. That is a serious, it's a field in an industry in and of itself, but it's really the starting point. You know, there's so many people with good ideas, but how far has your good idea spread? And even though you have a good idea and you talk it up and you know, hand out flyers and post up billboards and, you know, plaster the internet with messages about your product or your service, if you're not accurately and actually engaging in the sales process completely and following the blueprint for the process, and if you're not accurately and deliberately going about the steps to successfully market your idea, you're shooting yourself in the foot. That's why there's so many people who have what they consider to be a great business idea or a great venture, and, you know, it may not be known except in their little small circle. People have done that for years, but we always overlook that one is really two, but they always combine sales and marketing. We overlook that. We don't learn the sciences that are going to play when it comes into sales and marketing. How many people do you know who signed up with a multi-level or network marketing business? Think about it. The two terms in that is network which is who you will market to, and marketing, or a network is who you're actually going to sell to and marketing. But we don't study either one of those to find out exactly how you work a network, how you extract the benefit and value out of a network so that you can complete the sales process throughout your network and expand your network. And we don't understand what marketing really is. Marketing is not, you know, spitting up on people about, I have this, you should buy it, you should buy it, you should buy it because you're black. You should buy this, you should buy this because I know you. That is not marketing. And chances are, if you do that, you will not get the majority of sales that you that you're going after. So
okay,
it really does start there. And even though I won't, you know, that's not necessarily saying that get a sales job or get a marketing job, start with that. Then, as we were kicking around the ideas, like you said, the first thing that came up was the virtual assistant industry. Any major task that needs to take place or that has taken place over the last 10 or 15 years, if you think about some of the biggest events that have taken place, there was the Million Man March, there was the Millions More Movement. We in the Nation of Islam know about Savior's Day and the Holy Day of Atonement, and there have been local events and things that go on in your city and rallies that have taken place. None of them would have gone off without a hitch or been successful if there was not some administrative behind-the-scenes component making all things happen, connecting the dots.
I can bear witness to that.
That is absolutely the truth. Anything that you're trying to move, make happen, if you want to move the crowd, there's going to be somebody behind the scenes that are actually putting, you know, the person with this right hand with the person with that right hand so a handshake can actually take place. Virtual assistant is basically an administrative assistant person that works remotely outside the office. The whole industry comes into play where you look at secretaries, administrative assistants, or receptionist, whatever the title or the position is in an office. They're getting paid for 8 hours a day, and typically an employer would have to pay benefits, and chances are they're not really going to get a full 8 hours of work that they had to pay 8 hours for. Well, it benefits the employer, and many industries are actually moving in this direction. It benefits the employer to not have to worry about paying somebody to be in their office and not knowing if they're going to get a full day's work out of them. It benefits them to outsource that to people who either work at home or a remote temporary duty location, and they take care of all the administrative tasks for that business or for that employer. Let's say there is a doctor's office who needs medical billing to take place. We all have heard of that particular thing. If there's a medical billing need, or if there's a need to call clients and customers, follow up, if there's a need for correspondence or any information that needs to be relayed or received and acted on, then a virtual assistant is somebody who can handle that for a lot less cost than it would take for an office to carry the overhead of actually having an employee there. And on average, virtual assistants, which are individuals who can work right from their own home, as long as they have a phone line and a computer and the internet access, you can do just about anything that would need to be done administratively. In many instances, the average going rate for a virtual assistant could be anywhere from $25 an hour on upwards of $45 to $55 an hour. So imagine if you were able to set yourself up with 4 or 5 hours throughout the day that you knew that you could work, and someone says, okay, well, you know, I have 10 phone calls that I need to make. I'll pay you the hourly rate to make those 10 phone calls. And if you can get those 10 phone calls done in 15 minutes, then you get the prorated amount for that. Get you another client. Get more clients. Fill up that 4 or 5 hour span that you have so that you can go in ahead and meet your hourly quota, earn your money right from home, taking care of basic tasks that everybody needs. I don't mean to spend all that time on just one particular topic, but that's what a virtual assistant is. And even with that, as it relates to sales and marketing, that's the perfect example of a service that you would have to market and sell to an end client.
Sister Gidget, are you still there? I'm looking at her number, but I'm not hearing her.
I'm sorry. Can you all hear me now?
Yeah, okay. We hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, I know. We have a list of 10. We're not going to have time to elaborate on all of them, but thank you, Brother Vernon, for those elaborations. And one of the other things that we talked about specifically was children's services and, you know, activities that are geared towards African-American children or black children. However, you know, I get that mixed up. I don't know what people are comfortable with, you know, black, African-American, Asiatic, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. And educational tools surrounding black history. And, you know, and I was talking to Brother Vernon last night. You know, we spend, I'm saying, when I say we, I'm talking about working mothers in particularly, we spend a lot of money on daycare. And being Muslim, you know, the first thing you worry about, you know, outside of the normal care and concern about the individual that may be directly caring for your child is the dietary availability for your children, because you know that these daycares, they get snacks, they serve meals or whatever. Your children are being influenced by their environment, and there are so many single sisters out here that, you know, they might have an apartment or they might have a home, but, you know, their husbands might be working, but they don't have a source of income. And I think that amongst the sisters, I think they would feel more comfortable about another sister who loves them, who is, you know, caring for them, who's concerned about them, would take care of their children, would charge you a fraction of what you have to pay to daycare, and you don't have to worry about if that person is abusive or if that person is going to feed your child a piece of bacon. You know, so some of us sisters who are looking for work, if you have a space in your home or, you know, if it's possible for you to do, feasible for you to do, then let's start trying to market ourselves into caring for the children in our mosque, in our community, or whatever you can do to generate some money, because it can't be as high as daycare. I mean, I know some people are paying $100 a week for one child to go to daycare, and you don't even know what's going on with your child. You're not that familiar with the person that's caring for your child. You don't have a personal relationship, and that's important, you know, because my children never went to daycare, but I've heard the horror stories, and I can just only imagine. So that's just another branch that we can look into. And then, and I'm going to try to make this quick, black media distribution. Now, me personally, I came up with this one because I get so tired of going to Walmart to go get my Anthony Hamilton CDs, to go get my Madea movies. Yes, that's what I like. And, you know, Walmart, Target, all these other stores are distributing our people, you know, our people's products. And then there are some things that they will not ever distribute. You know, you will not ever find a video of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Walmart or Target. And so there are so many black authors that we are unaware of. There's so many black historical films that have been made that are historical, that are teachable to our children, that kind of reflects on our history. Show them the civil rights movement. Show them the study of the slave trade. You know, show them the black art museums that are around the country. You know, we have all this on film, and we have so much music historically that our children are not aware of. Our children don't know who Josephine Baker is. Our children don't know who Sarah Vaughan is. They don't know who Duke Ellington is. They don't know who Ella Fitzgerald is, and I'm telling my age, but I'm just saying these things that they need to know. And you wonder why your children are so involved in hip-hop, because they don't have a history of the music that is producible by them. They only have what they're exposed to. When you cut on the radio, you don't hear real music anymore. So, you know, we can really start marketing ourselves, marketing our history, and stop going to Walmart and giving them all your money, because, you know, really, it's crazy what they charge for some things, and the artist is not getting that much money for it. So, you know, let's kind of be open our eyes to the game here. Black clothing designs, real quick, something that's just appropriate for our women, something especially appropriate for our little girls. If you go in the shop now, the clothes they have for little girls look like they're little prostitutes, and I don't mean to be vulgar, but, you know, we have to set the tone. We have to be the example. I might wear a size 16, but I don't want it to be tight. So, you know, sometimes it's an extra effort to go in and try to get something that's elegant and try to get something that's, you know, classy and not revealing and not form-fitting. And we need, especially in the Islamic community, we need clothes. And I know Brother Yusuf Salam, I hope you're listening, he has a website that he has been referring people to, and I know he's in the clothing business, but we need more people like Brother Yusuf that are really trying to bring appropriate, eloquent, and classic, you know, classy wear to the sisters in particular, because I know it could be difficult shopping. You know, brothers, y'all wear a suit and a bow tie, y'all good. We have to be careful. And let me see, the other one was Brother Brandon. Okay, I forgot. What was it? Oh, Brother Brandon said that for those of you who may be out of work and say you know how to do some maintenance on vehicles, you know, instead of, if you don't have a shop, be willing to drive to certain people and fix their cars, like what, change flats, change oil, spark plugs, whatever you may know how to do. That is something that can generate money for you, and who knows, and maybe one day you'll open a shop, you know, that will service vehicles. I don't, you know, and I know this is not for the person who, you know, don't know how to put on an engine and don't know how to change a transmission out or whatever, but this is something that you can do. The little things, the little maintenance you can do can make you some money. And then the other thing was carpentry and lawn care. You know, a lot of us have been through that, we've done that, but these things are still needed. Carpentry, you know, when you call major companies to come out and do something, Home Depot charged my sister $1,400 for a fence. And I know some brothers would have put that fence up for her for $450, you know, but this is what they're charging, and we can compete with these companies by examining how much it's going to cost for us to do wholesale business for lumber, for tools like nails, hammers, saws, or whatever. And so let's start investigating what it takes to create a business. If you don't have the means to start it up, get with some other people. Let's make some things happen. The last thing on my list before we go to Brother Dawood was we're going to have to talk about the weave. Okay, listen, sisters, I'm just going to make this plain, because this is one thing that don't happen. I was telling Brother Brandon this today. Two things you won't see: a white man cutting a black man's hair and a white woman doing a sister's hair. That is very, very rare. You know, we go to white women for everything else, but you're not going to get in our head. That's just not going to happen. Okay, so talk to your beauticians. Think about it yourselves. It's not a long, drawn-out process to go to cosmetology school, to go get a manicurist license, to go get a hairdresser's license, whatever they call that, cosmetology, and start thinking about buying into wholesale hair products. Because Minister Farrakhan mentioned it on his town hall meeting on Wednesday, that the Asians have cornered that market. And who are their biggest customers? We are. So for every sister that has a, you know, a fine beautician to them, go in and ask her to consider, if she could, maybe you can go in with her as a partner in buying wholesale hair products that she can sell, because I know most sisters who have to go get their hair sewn in, glued in, whatever y'all do, y'all got to go to the Chinese hair salon, the Chinese hair shop, then you got to bring it back to the sister, and she got to put it in or whatever. When, if she's going to do all that, she ought to be able to have all the products that she needs right there. So encourage your beauticians, encourage yourself. If it's something you want to get into, even if you don't want to go to get the cosmetology license, you might want to look into wholesale buying hair products and get with your beautician and become a business partner. Pull your resources and people. Let's build a nation. Let's make some things happen. Now, the last thing on my list, the purpose, of course, of us inviting Brother Dawu on the show, because he said something very interesting the last time that you called in. Brother Dawu, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I apologize.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. You talked about solar energy, and as I had mentioned before, that is not something that you hear in the black business community very often. It's just something like, you know, we know it exists, but, you know, that is so far out of our reach. It is so far over our heads. But let me tell you something, people. If we are going to rule a nation, and if we actually believe that, then we have to know and we have to be knowledgeable of everything that it takes, from every form of government to every branch of technology, for every agricultural onset. You know, we have to know all of this, medical, you know, educational needs. We have to be aware of all of that. And if you think that, you know, or if you're waiting on someone else or some miracle to fall out of the sky to build your nation, you're sadly mistaken. That responsibility is on the shoulders of those that have been taught and that have listened to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And you cannot say that you were not forewarned. You cannot say that you were not foretold. We have a responsibility to our babies. We have a responsibility to ourselves. We have a responsibility to the nation, because we claim that we are the knowing ones. We say that we are the chosen ones. Well, if we're chosen, what are we chosen to do? So in order to bring these things into fruition, we're going to have to broaden our horizons in this business world. We're going to have to be able to carry the responsibility of that government that sits on our shoulders. We're going to have to be able to do that. So, Brother Dawu, if you would,
yes,
I'm going to ask the audience, DJ Black Seas, if there's any questions. If you do have questions, people, please call 646-716-5971. Brother Caesar has the chat room open. If you have a question, he will ask the question on your behalf. So, Caesar, I'm going to see now if they have any questions out there before we go to Brother Dawu, because this is only an hour and a half show, so we want to give him as much time as possible. Are there any questions, Caesar?
No, ma'am. We don't have any questions in the, on the board or on the chat room either.
Okay. All right. So, Brother Dawu, tell us, how did you start looking at solar energy, and what got, you know, how did that get your attention?
Well, first thing, it started from when 9-1-1 hit, and I saw that after 9-1-1, or during the time of it, it came to me in a vision to do what I'm doing, and that what I realized was that that they used the issues about Islam, but basically it was about the oil. And if you understand about any war situation, if you want to control the world, then you control the energy that runs the world. But now, at the same time, we're looking at energy in terms of it being, there's a new paradigm that has taken place, and that is, the first thing is that we have to look at, when we say the one who owns the world, owns energy or controls the energy, But when we look at energy, we have to begin to look at it in a whole new different light in terms of it having an intrinsic value. Now, what I mean by that is that you mentioned about, you know, getting money, and money comes in many different forms, or currency comes in many different names. But when you look at energy, it has its own intrinsic value in many terms, and how energy affects every aspect of your life. It affects your political life, your social life, your economic life. It affects your food costs. It affects the delivery of your clothes, everything that you can have imagined. Everything in a society is affected by the cost of energy. And so when we look at it, we look at energy in terms of, when we say about energy, we look at it having an intrinsic value. Energy, with you being able to have the ability, and I'm saying this, that it dawned on me and it came to me to realize that we can use solar technology as a way to be able to become truly energy independent. But with that comes a paradigm shift in terms of a whole entire community that is independent. When we look at our utility bills, and everyone is being affected, especially behind the climate change because of the fossil fuel technology has damaged the ozone layer of the planet, then we now begin to witness this year a historic level of the drought. But what we don't relate to the drought is that the drought itself actually is driving up energy costs, because if you look at how electricity is being produced, it's produced from coal. You have what you call you have three different ways, or you know, three or four different ways of what we call fossil fuel technology, which is the coal is first dug out of the ground, then it has to be put on a truck, and then what happens is delivered to a place where they create steam. And then through this steam, it turns a turbine, which is a group of permanent magnets that goes around electrical coil that produce electrical charge that is used to travel across the transmission lines, as you see. But it takes water for that system to operate. And then the same way with a nuclear power plant. It takes water to keep the nuclear reactors cool. And then with the same way with a hydrogen dam, if you have when you have a hydrogen dam, if the water level, if the water table levels come down, then you end up not being able to produce the amount of electricity that the hydro dam was designed for. And that's why throughout Africa is suffering from the droughts in Nigeria and Ghana. But like, they have a beautiful dam that they built, but it's operating and only able to produce half of the electrical power for the needs of that country. So now we have to begin to look at energy having the same intrinsic value. When you're able to produce your own electrical power off the top of your rooftop or on the ground or on the pole, you can be able to look at it as having the same value as gold, silver, platinum, it has the same intrinsic value. And matter of fact, it has more of a value than the dollar for several reasons. We need more open transparency to understand about the applications of the technology in real time in relationship to, many of us think that when we go to work, some of us are making $100,000 a year. But if you're making $100,000 a year and energy cost goes up, then your purchasing power is less. So what I mean by that, meaning that your purchasing power is less, is that for every dollar, when we talk about the devaluation of the dollar, we're talking about if you make it $100,000, but your actual purchasing power is at $30,000.
Right.
Or let's say let's say if it was 50%, then you only 50% of what your purchasing power is of a dollar. So your dollar may not be worth no more than 30 cents. So if you're making $100,000, then you actually really the dollar is only worth $30,000. So now we're in an illusion. We're walking around in an illusion. Like the brothers talk about the virtual world, we're talking about a virtual illusion. And so now we have to begin to understand about what we need to do. And the question is also, on top of just not only looking at the economic impact, because when that war break out in Iran, and we're talking about the Strait of Hormuz, you're going to be seeing gasoline prices at $5 and $6 and $7 a gallon. Now, I don't care what kind of money you think that you have or what your economic status is, your educational status is. The question is, what are you going to do about how you're going to be able to handle that? And we have solutions. And the point is, to this point about the solution, is also about the natural disasters. If we start having an earthquake, or we have a period where we have long periods of power outages, which, for example, just recently, when I think about back in the time in 2000, when the 911 hit, I think it was in 2001 or whatever. But the thing is that when that happened a few years later in New York, you had 50 million people without electrical power. People were trapped inside their elevators. The people were on a surgery, probably sitting, the doctors were doing it, might have been doing surgery on a patient or something. You can think of many different situations where a person can get caught in a bad situation in regards to not having electrical power, and not even counting the elderly needing respirators to be able to breathe to live. But then now that's going back. Let's go to the future, which was nothing but a few weeks ago, where you had something like a 680 million people in India without electrical power. But the point is that if everybody in the world is now taking energy being the number one priority for their country, then think about it. You mean to tell me, here it is, we're talking about, one, we're talking about technology transfer. We're talking about why we need to look at solar, because we want to, just like they did technology transfer for China, technology transfer for India, technology transfer from Mexico, Canada, Japan, and even including Europe. And now you even hear in Africa is now talking about an Africa a energy agenda. But where is it in the black community that we begin to understand the relevance and the importance of this becoming a part of our language? It should be really become a part of our spiritual language. It's something that you're doing, that you're using, you're getting your electricity from something that is polluting the atmosphere. Then what is our obligation as being Muslims, as khalifas over the planet, in regards to how we be able to reduce that carbon emissions to the atmosphere? That's an obligation that we have. But then yet, at the same time, what do we do to hinge to protect ourselves, not only from the power outages, but also how do we hinge ourselves from the rising cost of energy that impacts the cost of your food and everything else? Because in order for them to do anything for agriculture, and they use some of the stuff for fertilization and everything else, but the point is that for the plant life, but the point is that we can come up with solutions. And some of the solutions, real quick, and I know that we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to be moving kind of fast as we move along.
Hey, Brother Dawood, but let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Because you bring up an interesting point, and you know, I don't want to flood the audience with information. I want to make sure that we keep the audience engaged. How do, let's say, the average person who's listening now, you know, we as an audience member, I'm listening, and this is a great introduction to a new field and a new arena. What would be the entry point for, you know, the average person? How, you know, I'm hearing you for the first time. How would I get involved or engaged to find out more about it and to actually see where the opportunity lies for me to get in?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I think that the first reality for the black community is to understand that we have to first start, it's all about policy positioning. And when I'm talking about when we see social conditions change, we must learn to create new forms of economic leveraging as well as economic positioning. So the question is, what is it that we have to leverage with? So when you ask that question, where do we start? The first thing is to understand what is it that we're being faced with economically, and how do we end up owning, or when we're talking about creating a nation of our own, then we're going to have energy to be able to operate a business. I believe that the first thing that we need to do is to probably look at, number one, we should think about is a solar manufacturing plant. From that, once we can create a solar manufacturing plant, then we can move to distribution. That means we'll have a warehouse that we can take those panels that we create and put them into a warehouse, and then from there we can start having several distributorships across the country. From that point of the distributorships, then we end up with dealerships. And from those dealerships, we have to look at, well, getting back to the distributors, We have to also complement it with a training program to go along with that, along with the training for installation, as well as training for marketing, as you mentioned about marketing and sales. But and then also we have to look at having a research and development side to look at how the different applications of the solar can be able to be applied. So, for example, even though we're looking at right now solar homes, how do we get into that market and be able to take over those foreclosed properties and bring value to them in terms of, we know that the new market trends is that you can a home with solar panels on it is selling faster than a conventional home. So now we could buy foreclosed properties, buy them and put solar on them, and then sell those homes where the homes where will actually help a person from falling into foreclosures. Because now what we need is open transparency to the truth of what energy cost is doing to us. We're talking about these utility bills. People's bills are coming in at $300-$500 a month. Now you got to buy gas at the pumps. Very shortly, once that war breaks out, we could be looking at $5, $6, $7 a gallon. So then now we really got a problem. So now we're talking about businesses is not going to see any profits. Their profits is going to be eaten up by the cost of energy. We have everything that you can imagine that needs money for it to run will be impacted because it's being ate up. And that's part of the first number one thing is to understand what does a monopoly do. This is no stranger to us because we can look back at Standard Oil Trust, and this is the same similar patterns that they had done before. But this time they took it from not just looking at it from a monopoly from the United States, but they took it and expanded into a monopoly of controlling oil and energy around the world.
And you know they're going to have.
Yes. Did you? We can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Move around a little bit. Your phone is
okay,
off right
now.
Okay,
we can hear you now.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you
now. Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, yeah. And Brother Doug, we talked about it briefly yesterday about the cost of food, because if you look at food costs, it has gone up astronomically. I mean, it's almost insane. And part of that, most of that cost is transportation, and that's because of the fuel cost that is costing us to costing them to ship the food to us. And so with the solar energy, would it also help us in being able to develop our own farms or gardens or whatever we need
as a food source as well?
Well,
the first thing is that we have to understand is that everything that we talk about in the from what we were taught, you have to throw it away. Everything that we were taught in college, whatever we thought we learned, and from whoever we thought we learned from, we have to throw that out, because now we're talking about creating something entirely new, an entire different type of society, a whole new type of economic system. Understand that when we introduce the new type of when we introduce the technology, basically we're creating a new form of an economic system model that has not yet came to birth yet. And so when we talk about technology, we're looking at it in terms of you. When you're looking at first, let me help you with a scripture real quick and something. I'll just, no one has to, this is just my personal interpretation, and could we be wrong for interpreting it in this manner? When it says that Christ says that, give back unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and give back unto God that which belongs to God, to Allah. Well, then would the righteous be wrong to interpret it in this manner, that we give back to Caesar his electric bill, his water bill, his mortgages, his sewer bill, his cell phone bill, his internet bill, everything. Now, I know that sounds kind of hard and far-fetched, because you said, sister, that it's kind of hard for our people to accept and understand that we can we do this, and I'm saying to you that we're doing it now. And it's not something that we're just talking about. We're actually doing it. I have housing developers are already building houses with solar already on them. But look at this. When you talk about the food, there's some things about this that I wanted I'm going to address it real quick about what you're saying, but I have to mention something else to bring it together. And that is that we heard about there's things that we could do, like in terms of, and I don't know if people have heard of it or not, but it's called solar cooperatives. A solar co-op is when people can come together and buy solar panels and bring the cost down to make it affordable for the people who join into the solar co-op. We heard about solar housing co-ops, where we could buy the foreclosed properties and we do our own in-house mortgages, because what happens is when you cut a person's utility bill completely out, if they don't, even if you cut it by 50%, if a person's bill is $300 a month, they save it $150, they can apply that to their mortgage, they could pay off the house. But what we need to do is own those homes that we build, whether they're new or any old homes that we could retrofit, so that way that the person can own that property within 10 years. Then also we're talking about a food co-op. We have architectural designs that are set up that what we want to do is take those homes, and what we're saying is that when you buy this house, it's going to come with a greenhouse. When you buy this home, it's going to come with a hydroponic center, what we call a solar hydroponic center, which we did already. We already have the supermarket models and everything that we're talking about done in St. Louis at Yours Market. Now, we have it where we started off with 22 tilapia fish. Now we got 5,000 tilapia fish. So now, and just like you have a goldfish with a bowl in it, this way we're talking about using some landscaping ideas where you can be able to have a pond inside your house where you grow your own fish, as well as have when a person buys the home, it comes with a complete plan to show the homeowner how to raise their own gardens and everything, and herbs, so that they could be able to, in case they need it for medical purposes, natural ways of doing things. We looked at also, but now we talked about the food cooperative. But one thing that came to me, of all these things that we talk about in cooperatives, what I'm saying is that what we need is to look at is, but if I may suggest, is a microeconomic level, on a microeconomic level, is the development of a family co-op. And what is a family cooperative? That means that Aunt Bessie and Uncle Tom and Uncle Lou, or whatever you want to call them, your family, all of your family members, your grandmother, your grandfather, you yourself, everybody pulled together their resources and put it together to be able to buy a business or support a business. Since we have problems with redlining with the banks and with the credit ratings, then we looked at it from that perspective. On top of that, in the communities, we could create our own credit unions, and I think that that's very important that we own our own. We have 5,000 or 10,000 members to create their own credit unions, so that we could be able to facilitate that process. And I prefer that it be under Sharia. That means that now I know that Sharia is not right at this particular point. Some parts of it right now we're not ready for. But I'm talking about the part where we don't have usury in regards to interest rates. But there's nothing wrong with making a little profit, but we're not talking about people, and that is where Allah hates usury. So now looking at the architectural design, that means that with the architectural design, we can create whole new communities. Why are we spending $500,000 for a house when we can go buy a farm and build a community? I mean, we got people who got good credit, and we could use that credit in terms of inside the mosque to go and each mosque own a farm. I mean, so we could at least have a close nearby venue to be able to get, to a venue where we could get our food to the believers as well as to our entire community. But now, what is getting ready to happen is something I saw where the direction is going. When President Obama said that there's going to be 8 million. By 2014, there's going to be something like 8 million electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles on the road. Right now, I'm dealing with clients right now looking at putting together solar carports with electrical vehicle recharging stations. We're looking at, because now with those electrical vehicles, it's going to take 30 minutes to 45 minutes to maybe an hour. So now that changes where you, with the conventional method of going and just getting some gas and pumping it in and pumping, you're gone. So now you have to look at new marketing directions in terms of that. There is other things. When we're talking about solar, we're looking at the technology itself is not limited. It's only limited to the imagination. And that means that it can cover so many different things. But the most important thing also, in addition to the solar technology, is that we have to look at is also what we call storage capacity technology. Well, it's the same thing with a car. Cars storing electricity so that you can travel. They got some vehicles going to be able to do 70 miles or 100 miles or 700 miles or 500 miles on a charge. Now, the thing is that for a home, I'm a CEO of Joseph Vision Technologies and Economic Development, but I'm also the owner of Solar Electric Power LLC, and that is that part of that arm of that technology is designed to cover many different things. Not only just that we specialize in solar grid tied systems, but we specialize in solar grid ties with battery backup systems. So where people have to understand is that when we talk about zero energy, I want people to type in their search engines zero energy homes. Then they are net zero energy homes. That is the new marketing trends that are out there right now. And the problem is that everybody else is can have an energy agenda but the black community. We're so strong on buying technology, but we're not into selling technology. And this is where the jobs can be created, and we're talking about good-paying jobs, as well as we get into solar wireless Wi-Fi hubs. I have another thing, what I call the elimination of the redundancy of technology, which is what is existing within the community. It is not nothing new because in other, what we say in upper-class communities, they already have existing they have wireless communication network systems where people can get on the internet for free. But why is it that we have these apartment units where black folks is sitting there paying for internet? And I'm telling you, that's another debt within itself because the cost of the technology was supposed to be for the purpose of advancing technology, not for it to become a burden to the technology or that it became exclusionary. Because when solar first started out, they did not want black folks. Well, they were so busy looking out for themselves, they didn't think about black folks. I just happened to pick it up and become a pioneer in the industry along with the white folks and leading them as well as trying to convince my people years later to come around with this whole understanding that this is a new paradigm shift, that we're talking about getting rid of something. Oh, you cannot come into an existing system and change anything. The only way that you could do something is to create something new to make it obsolete. So then when we talk about the solar wireless Wi-Fi hub, what do we mean by eliminating the redundancy of technology? That means that in every black community across this country, we can start setting up wireless Wi-Fi internet free internet internet broadband hubs across the country, and even in Mother Africa, and down in Jamaica. So what does that mean? What we're looking at now is that what we can do is tap into over a million smartphones. We're talking about this could be more than that, but I'm just showing you that these smartphones now have internet. You can directly communicate there, but at the same time, people can get on the free solar wireless Wi-Fi hubs that we own, but they can get in through their cell phones, their laptops, and through their computers. Now, we have another barrier of new layers of discrimination based upon on income, class, and race. And what I mean by that is that we have black folks are now being discouraged on another level that did not exist before. A long time ago, people would go straight to the job, fill out the application, and get hired. Now they put another layer there. That is that they have to go. Many people are becoming discouraged. I've had somebody tell me it took them 8 attempts, 3 to 8 to go to. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm just calling Sister Gidget.
Okay. I'm hearing that they are having. I'm hearing that they are having.
Mailbox number 8328879306.
Okay, yes, you're listening to Brother Daoud Muhammad of Solar Electric Power LLC, and we're talking about solar electric power and different types of systems and economic system models that we can create to be able to create jobs and own businesses that will bring us to an equal level at the playing field within the market, and we'll become mature players at the market on the market. So now the whole concept of the idea of how do we free our people, and the only way that I can see it is to get ourselves off this grid, and that is the only way. We want all the mosques and all the churches to get off this grid. We want every business that we own to be off that grid. We want to do everything that we can. That means that here we free ourselves from being slaves. If we don't get to become have energy and technology, we don't be careful with the understanding about energy and technology. That means that we need it to become, and it's kind of just distracting hearing the phone ring. But what I'm trying
no
to
problem.
Say is
let me,
that we have
let
to
me ask you this, Brother Devil. Let me ask you this real quick, because you raise an interesting point, as so much of the information that you've shared tonight is. But that last point, you know, you said we need the churches and the mosques in our communities to start looking in this area. Now, I know that
off the grid,
to definitely take a look at this area and take action in that direction, which would be getting off
thousands
the grid.
Thousands of dollars
much,
are
we
going
have, to... We have too much money flowing out of our community
right.
to pay for these vital necessities that we can start producing for ourselves. Have you started or have you thought about the way to, I guess, create those inroads or begin to connect those dots with the mosques and
yes.
the churches so that we can go
yes.
on ahead and move that process forward?
Brother, beloved, you just came up with a solution, because what you just got through saying is about sustainability. See, when we say sustainability, we're not talking about no social programs anymore. We're talking about, which was a failed 50 years of a failed social service program. What we're talking about is sustainability, meaning that we're not looking for a Band-Aid. We're looking for a permanent solution. So what we're talking about here is when we talk about sustainability, that means that we could be able to be what? Independent. And so you're 100% correct. So we are doing it. I want you to understand one thing. My name is Brother Daoud Muhammad. When you talk to me, I'm not talking. We're doing it. And I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. We did the test runs already on the solar wireless Wi-Fi hubs. That means now we did the research. We actually propagated the wave. Now we're moving it up higher to the antennas up higher so we can be able to cover, we would like to be able to cover a 15-mile radius. But to give you the research that we have is that in a one-mile radius, we're looking at 8,000 people per 1 mile inside the for free wireless Wi-Fi hub. Why is it that every other community got it and we don't? Why is every other community, we got in Illinois, we got whole entire towns that are completely off the grid? Why is it that the black community, we haven't done it? Because what it is, it's about technology transfer. They can transfer, when we talk about technology transfer, transferring of technology to the middle class and to the poor. So what we're talking about is transferring that technology back to our communities where we can create jobs that can compete. I mean, compete not only just within the United States, but on a global level. So now the issue here is that when we look at what we can just do and just eliminating our brothers and sisters from having to feel hopeless in regards to they could apply for a job, that they, when they go out there and they try to go apply for a job, that they walk. I got a perfect example of it, and I'm getting ready to write a report on it right now to whoever dealing with the telecommunications department to explain what is actually going on, because it needs more open transparency to this issue. It's not being talked about. It's not being explained in the right way. And I'm gonna give you an example. This brother came. He asked me to take him to the mall where inside the library was where they had the computers access to the internet. He had, this was his 8th attempt, 3 times to try to get an application to go up. He said he knew about 5, 6, 7 people that just totally gave up. But yet he walked past the job where the job was at, and he used to work for the people, and they said, you got the job, but you got to get it up to corporate in order for them to get the job. Now, how many other people are being discouraged like that? So now we have to understand about applications of the technology in real time. And that means that we are now, the enemy is moving at a faster pace. And so in essence, let me put it this way. In our lessons, it mentions about a lion being in a cage. But what? He had to come across modern technology. Now he's moving at a faster pace. Now I'm going to move us to another level. I think that what we need, I wish you'd get this book by Bill Gates, and it's called Business at the Speed of Thought, Creating a Digital Nervous System. I repeat it again. Business at the Speed of Thought, Creating a Digital Nervous System. It's going to show you what's getting ready to happen. Now, the minute that these gas prices get to $5, $6, $7 a gallon, a lot of people won't be able to go to work, will not be able to afford to go to work. With the way that, and then you're going to see the electrical bill. You have to see how the gas prices articulate into your utility bills. And what I want and what I really fear what's going to happen, and here's the horror, because we're going to sleep and it's already happening. In Detroit, they pull it up the doggone. The city can't afford the electric bill, so they're pulling up the doggone street lights out of the black community, and they're in pitch darkness. Yeah, I'm going to show you how bad it can get. Is that even if you are paying your electric bills in your neighborhood, but let's say you are in a ward and you got 10,000 people can barely keep pay their electric bills because they robbing Peter to pay Paul just to be able to pay for gas to get to work, that is not enough money to be able to pay for the electric bill, so they juggling. So then all of a sudden, if the utility companies end up saying, well, just like the United States government lost its credit rating, then if the utility company loses credit rating, then what they're going to end up doing is saying that, look, they may end up shutting down or end up having permanent blackouts like third world countries in a way in terms of maybe you might get electricity every 3 days out of a week, or they might permanently cut it off because of the fact you become a credit risk to them. So if we don't create a way of being able to own our own electrical power and become energy free, that means that then that money that we are saving from what we pay in our homes, in our businesses, in our mosques, we're talking about, just look at 50%. I came up with this term called, transferring of the existing debt assets by 50%. So that means that those who are paying the utility bills and everything, if we cut all of that out, 50%, and we own it, we got to think in terms of owning everything that I had just mentioned. And then talking about the electric vehicles, do you know that we already got brothers right now, and I'm gonna be up in D.C. if it be the will of Allah. I've got to give a lecture up there. But the point is that when I got a brother, Dr. Baruch, who took the motor out and converted his vehicle over to electrical vehicles. Those are new jobs that we can look at, that we can get the handyman to learn, and it's very easy and simple process, but we got to just create the models. But, I mean, like right now, I've got all these other things that we're doing, but we need to expand it. We need to – it's about replication of process. When we talk about building this sustainable community, one of the beauties of it is that it can be replicated anywhere around the world. So how do we replicate it and make it sustainable – and that it'd be a permanent solution instead of it being a bandage like these social programs have been providing.
So how far do you think we are away, or how close do you think we are to actually seeing if not one of these communities actually built, how close do you think we are to actually seeing a church or a mosque or something in our community come on board and be operational with this, either as a customer of the you know, wherever the solar power utilities would come from, or establishing this so that they can be self-sustaining?
Let me explain. I own a solar company. Okay, I want you to understand what I'm saying. I own it, so there's no issue about it. Yeah, you see what I'm saying about modules and all of that? And then they got new technology out there called microinverters that makes it even easier and faster. I mean, I just did, I'm working on the projects right now. I just had a meeting today at the mosque today about it. But then,
Brother Dawood, let's pause for a minute. Because we're winding down. We have maybe like 20 more minutes, and I just want to check and see, because you're providing a lot of information, and we don't want to lose our audience. So let's see if we have some questions. Caesar, do we have any questions?
843-843, your mic is open. You can ask your question and make a comment.
Greetings.
Yes, sir. Greetings, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I've been thinking and praying on these kind of issues. Up in the north, I'm in South Carolina, 843 area code, And they mm-hmm. seem
and what's
to
your name,
book.
Brother?
Oh, I apologize. It's, my name is Eddie.
Okay. Thank you for
yeah.
calling, Eddie. Go ahead with your question.
I thank you, family, for being there.
Yes, sir.
They deregulated electricity in the north. I guess it's New York, Jersey, Philly, Connecticut, you know, up there. And that's the open market. And being that I'm down here in the south now, you know, it's cold and restricted, to say, Republican science. With your solar electricity, will that take a person totally off the grid?
Yes, and I was also I forgot to mention, we have solar systems that comes with the battery backup systems, so that means that once you get nighttime, it automatically can cross over to your critical loads from the battery banks to operate, and believe me, even if you didn't have no sun for a week, you still have battery to run your home for at least up to a week to 2 weeks based upon the size of your battery.
Wow. Okay.
So we sell battery banks up to we sell battery banks and install them these solar grid ties with battery backup systems. The place that you could go to check it out is go to what they call Outback Solar or go to Outback. It's called Radiant or RADIAN Outback or Outback Radiant. Outback is an 8,000 watt inverter. With an 8,000 watt inverter, most of these homes are not even handling that kind of power. The rule of thumb is 1,000 watts per bedroom. So if you got a if you got a 4-bedroom house, you're looking at 4,000 or 5,000 watts. If you got a 2-bedroom house, you got 2,000 or 3,000 watts. And you know, and the cost on these things now, the price of the solar modules have dropped. Because that's why come they put in tariffs on the modules now from China. Because they dropped so it's just. And then you have rebate programs, and each one of these states, you can get up from anywhere from, well, first thing, everyone in the United States can get a 30% credit, a federal energy credit, when they once they get their system installed, they get what you from the what they call the federal energy credit. You get 30% for residential, and this is the last year for commercial. They get back 50% on their investment. Mm. That's not counting that the utility company. Some states have their utility companies. They may have, like in Missouri, they have a $2 DC watt program. So that means that if you got 10,000 watts, you're getting back $20,000. If you got 5,000 watts, you're getting back $10,000 over the cost of the solar system. That's not counting on top of the fact that you got the federal energy credit. But for commercial, you get back 50% on the you get back 50% on the what they call a bonus depreciation. Normally, they monetize it. As a 5-year deal, what they're doing now is giving you the 50% of the of your 50% bonus depreciation within that first year. But this is the last year for commercial. Last year was 100% bonus depreciation. But what the problem came in at was that the CPAs were not doing their job. The bookkeepers were not doing their jobs. They should have. What good was they to have all the all they want is your money? And they just used to doing. Bureaucracy stuff instead of looking at exploring what the laws are out there now to be able to especially in energy costs. How can you be a person that is a CPA that's running or helping a business, supposed to be helping a business, advising a company, and here it is, every year you get a 30% utility rate increase. Even if you have a home that was $100 a month utility bill, if you get a 30% rate increase, that's $130 the first year. The second year, if it's another 30%, that's $160-some. When you go to the third year, you're at $190-something. So every year, expositionally, we're getting increases in utility costs, and it needs to be we need more open transparency to this issue.
Right.
You mentioned about deregulation. Now, here's the thing. That is a plus because many states are beginning to deregulate because, like I said again, even this our city here actually went into trying to buy electricity at a lower price so that they can. But the problem is, as I said again, that this is the technology that we're presently under for energy is a 100-year-old ancient and antiquated system.
Yeah.
It's an 18th century electrical delivery system. It is so old and antiquated that it can't even it can't even withstand a storm. You know, when the storm come, every time you look around, like in Alabama, I mean, it was a horrible storm down there where they had to have 47 different electrical companies, utility companies come to one affected area. What if the storm is so widespread that they can't afford to send nobody to no place else because the areas are so bad? Well, here, what you're looking at is two types of economic system models or scientific models. One is a centralized electrical grid. That means that you got one power plant feeding millions and millions of people from this one power plant. Japan should have showed you alone that when the nuclear power plant went down, then all those people were without power, millions of people. The same way, if you have one power plant go down, then that's it. That means that nobody got any electricity. And we have reports that we're sitting upon an anniversary of a major earthquake, and the Honorable Minister Farrakhan had mentioned about that. And when you look at it, for us on the Nemadjik Fault Line, the Nemadjik Fault Line was in 1812 when the earthquake hit, the big one, the bigger than the one in California, that changed the course of the Mississippi River. Now, add 200 years to 1812.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the show is getting shorter, and we still have some more questions. I hope you answer your question, caller. Thanks for that question. Now I'd like to ask 410, would you ask your question, make your comment, please?
This is 410.
Make your question, please.
And I came back on.
Oh, okay.
I did have one quick question, though. How much does it cost to outfit a building with the solar outfit and the battery array?
Well, right now the rule of thumb, here's the magic number. With the new microinverters that came out, one was the Enphase, which has only been a couple of years. And then you have it's a couple of others called Solar Bridge, and there's another one. But the main thing is this. You're looking at around the magic number for the housing developers was at $10,000 to $12,000. And what that meant that when you're getting back anywhere from, it could be depending on what state you're in, on top of that with the energy credit, with the state or the utility rebate and the federal energy credit, you could be looking back at in some areas up to 50% to 60% back on the return on the investment within the first year on the $10,000 to $12,000. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So that includes.
I think I heard DJ Caesar. We have another question, and we're winding down. So let's take another question if we have one. We don't want to keep them waiting.
954, make your comment and ask your question, please.
Yes, this is Jacob Toombs. I'm just calling into the show to give DJ Black Caesar and his cast a big ups, and just wanted to say thank you for everything you're doing, helping independent artists really get their music out there. I commend you, and just wanted to tell you guys to be blessed and stay grinding.
Thank you, Ms.
Oh, thank you, Jacob. Thank you for calling in. That is so sweet of you. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Okay, that's about it for the questions. I don't see anybody else out there with a question, so I guess we can take it away. We got about 10 minutes left right now. Just letting you guys know, keep me up on your toes. So we got about 10 minutes left, so go ahead and make your final statement.
Let me ask right quick for the listening audience, those who are online and who just may be on the phone, if they wanted to get additional information, because like I say, you've really inundated us tonight with a lot of information and a lot of knowledge, and we really appreciate that. Tell them how they can reach you, how we can communicate with you more and get information about what you're doing.
Okay, well, first thing I must say that, you know, I'm going to leave you with this, is that, you can reach me, you can go to my site at www.solarwindpower.biz. Okay, again, that's www.solarwindpower.biz, that's B-I-Z. Or you can email me at solarenergyconsultant@gmail.com. Or you can call me anytime at 1 618 1-617-447-5004. Again, it's 1-618-447-5004. And the question is, what you going to do when the lights go out? Because the life you may save may be your own. You must think about getting yourself off this grid.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. So I want to go back to something that Brother Vernon asked. If we wanted to really start as individuals, is it that you suggest that we do this as a group of people, and let's just say that it's not business. Let's just say it's in our personal homes that we currently are paying a mortgage on. How much approximately will it cost to renovate our housing to the solar energy program?
Look, there's three layers of that that answer to that question, and I think that the first one that I would like to recommend is that for natural disasters, if you don't ever hear from me again, remember this, that if a power go out and you end up in a natural disaster and it's going to be forever, then I'm asking you to go and get you one deep cycle battery. I said deep cycle, not a regular like a regular car battery, but go with one deep cycle battery and get you one inverter. Go to your automobile dealership and purchase that, and that will lease and get you a battery recharger. But the thing is that you can spend about, that would be for like $150 to $200 out of your pocket, that you can at least have a permanent guarantee of some kind of power. Now, if in the wintertime, if you go out without an electrical power, then you can use that, and if you want to, you can actually, if you have you have to get an electrician, you can put a switch between the point where you could be able to turn your furnace back on so you don't have to freeze to death in your home. Now, the second point is that I've said that we need to put together a solar cooperative or solar housing cooperative. That means that everybody start a nonprofit group, put together everybody becomes members of it and buy the panels and get them at a very affordable price. Now, you can start off with systems. Right now, we got systems you can start off with just 1,000 watts for around about $3,000-$5,000.
Mm-hmm.
That means the reason why I say up to that number, it depends because some roofs, it's all have to deal with the roof. If you don't have no shade on your roof then and it's facing south or southeast, just like we pray we face the south or southeast or face the east, then that's where it needs to be. But if you got shade on your roof, then you have to look at a pole mount where we could put it on a pole or a ground mount. And that way, but I prefer a pole mount because the fact you can actually manually track the sun, and you can yield more of electrical power by tracking the sun with that type of pole mount system.
And so is this a service that your company currently offers now?
We've been offering it for 10 years, and we've been in the newspapers. I've been on the radio stations for 10 years. I've been pushing for us to get a movement so that we could be able to hurry up and get ourselves off the grid. And really, be honest with you, the reason why I said the solar co-op is because we're so far behind now that there's only way we're going to be able to catch up is to get the solar cooperative going, unless we move forward with a distributorship. And by that means is that we can go and purchase a bunch of solar panels. Those of us who can set up a business plan and have the kind of financing to do it, we get it even cheaper. And then we can be able to do our own distribution to rapidly deploy it. The only way that I can see it now is that through the Nation of Islam and through the FOI and the MGT, it's the only way we're going to be able to quickly get that through to our community as quick as possible to offset the collateral damage that could occur in regards to the loss of life because of no electrical power.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay, Brother Vernon, you have a question for Brother Dawood?
Ah, goodness. Would you repeat what you said just about D cell battery, D converter battery? That you went past that.
For everybody, and what you could do is you could do in the mosque and the churches, they can do this. You can buy one battery and get an inverter, a deep cycle battery,
deep cycle,
or a marine battery. Now, when you go to the automobile dealerships, you could be able to get that. And I'm going to tell you something. if something go down, I've already told my aldermen and stuff that you may have to commandeer those batteries. Don't let them walk out with those batteries. If you end up with a serious natural disaster and those batteries are inside your neighborhood, you better commandeer them quick. So the thing is that we, from the auto parts stores.
Oh, gotcha.
So what I want you to do, this is your experiment. This is what your research. Go to today if you can, or tomorrow. Go to stop by and go into an automobile dealership and go in there and ask them about the deep cycle batteries and look at, tell them that you also want to know about a DC to AC inverter. I prefer you to get a 1,000-watt inverter, but if you whatever they got, that's fine. It's not that fine. Get no less than 800 watts, but I prefer no less than 1,000 watts for many reasons. Then also, we need to get those light bulbs. Now, for those who've got those high electric bills, you have to change all those light bulbs in your house over to the 13 or 24-watt light bulbs, which is to look like a little curly spiral-type bulbs. But believe me, you can start immediately cutting greatly into your electric bills by doing that. So we have to find we've got to look at many different types of systems to free our people, because right now, we're not reporting it. It's not even being reported. When we have just before the winter come, they end up saying they got 10,000 people with pink noses getting ready to get the lights cut off. Or we got 100,000 people. And if you count them, it could be 1 million people across the country. But no one is reporting how many people in each and every city is being cut off because they can't pay their electric bills. And then what's happening is we have a false association of self-pride. Because, you know, I've seen black, and what this does is eliminate this kind of ill behavior, is that when you're generating your own electricity, you don't have to go through that. But when you hear people, I've seen black folks fight out in the street, women out there saying, girl, you can't even pay your bills. Let us think about that. You know, we've been reinforced with an 18th century slavery educational system that taught us to go to work for master. You know, so in other words, what do you mean, replace your bills with what? Master. You mean you got black folks who lost their jobs and they got so sick with stress that the doctor said we can't physically find nothing wrong with them. But the stress of not being able to pay his bills as you see you look at his wife and his children in the face. What are you going to do when you look around? You say that you're so spiritually, or intellectually or educationally astute. What are you going to say to your wife when you're sitting in the pitch darkness and you don't know what pitch darkness is until you find out? And when you do, when you raise your hand up in front of your face and you can't even see your own hand, that's what pitch darkness is. But because you didn't think about what I'm warning you about right now, and I'm warning you all in the name of Allah to get yourself off this grid because you do not have much time.
Thank you, and we're running out.
Okay, and we are out of time, Brother Dawood. I want to thank you for coming on. I want to thank you for all of the information that you have provided to us. I mean, it's a lot of information, but it's well needed, and we would love to have you back on soon. We have 4 different shows on this network, so hopefully I can get you on one of the Thursday night shows. I want to thank DJ Black Caesar for stepping in on his day off. And I want to thank Brother Vernon, who reappeared out of nowhere and being my gracious co-host tonight. And thank our listening audience and those of you who called in. And I want to thank the Nation Building family and all of the network family. Join us. We will not have a show this Tuesday. It is the Nation of Islam's Believers meeting on Tuesday night. But I will be back on Thursday. DJ Caesar will be back on Wednesday. I don't know. You have anybody on your show that we need to know about, DJ Caesar, on Wednesday?
Not really. You know how I do it. I don't let anybody know anything until Monday. Yeah.
Okay, well, I hope that you will join me on Thursday. I have Southwest Regional Student Minister Robert Muhammad, along with a couple other guests that I'm not going to name right now, and we're going to talk about the polytricks of politics. So I hope that you will join us then. Thank you again to my distinguished panelists and my network family. I leave you as I came in peace. One nation, one love. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.